Speaking of recompense that's hard to assess, are you in favour of this and how would you figure out compensation? A new study is out looking at sunshine. The more sun a house gets, the higher its value. This is possibly not a complete surprise, but the Motu Economic and Public Policy Research Trust has carried out the first research, it says, anywhere in the world, apparently, to evaluate the elevated value of a house's sunshine hours. So, how closely, first of all, do you look at sunshine, both of you, when choosing a house?
Huge, absolutely. When we chose the house we're in now, that was probably just about top of the list.
Well, I live in Hamner Springs, so if you want to live up on the hill, you don't get the sun for about 3 months of the year. And so a lot of us that live there permanently live down the bottom because, you know, we're going to get the sunshine. It's also the difference between winter and summer. We're just in the middle of a thing with the family at the moment and disposing with a family home, part of our wider family. And you're not going to sell it in winter. I mean, there's not enough sun, there's not enough brightness and everything else. And so I know it's a wee bit different to having a house shade yours, but it's very much the same situation. You know, you need sunshine to light up the brain cells and, you know, it's so critical for your own home as well.
Yeah, it's not just about aesthetics. It's not just about is it nice to have the sun? It is. It's about mental health. It's also about passive solar, ability to keep your house warm. And just sort of stay sane. We rented a house for 6 months while we were renovating a house one time, and the one we lived in had no sun at all. And there was a massive difference in our mood and also our children's health when we lived in the sunless place.
Okay, that's interesting information. And there'll be people probably nodding their heads agreeing with you having had a similar experience. Arthur Grimes is joining us. Arthur is a senior fellow at Motu and co-author of this study. Arthur, good afternoon.
Hi there, Jim. How are you?
Nice to talk with you again, and congratulations. Someone had to think of doing this first.
Yeah, well, it's the power of big data now. You can actually do the modelling of how much sun every single house gets and at every hour of the day, and now you can do that. You can do the work.
How did you go about determining the value of more sun shining on a house, Arthur?
So what we did is we took all the sales of Wellington houses over a number of years and then looked at how their prices varied according to, for instance, the number of bedrooms they have, their age, their square, you know, their floor area, etc., and then looking at how much sun they got in terms, and we then checked whether that was summer sun or winter sun and a whole lot of other things as well.
Okay, so you factored out obvious differences in the houses and ended up with sunshine.
Yeah, that's right. Well, basically, we can estimate the effects of all those things on the value of the house, so we can, you know, look at the value of an extra bedroom, the value of an older house or having parking available, etc., and also the value of sunshine, so we do that using statistical techniques.
Okay, and in terms of practical application, compensating the inhabitants of an existing house or an apartment block when you take away their sun, you've been able to put a monetary value on this somehow.
Basically, every hour of extra sunlight that you get on average per day...
Arthur's momentarily disappeared.
Oh, hang on. Can you hear me now?
The sun went from your phone.
Sorry? Can you hear me now, Jim?
We can. You're back.
Yeah. So about every hour, on average, if you have an extra hour of sunlight per day, your house goes up in value by around 2.5%. So you imagine an extra, you know, 4 hours of sunshine a day, your house is worth 10% more. It's quite a lot of money, especially, say, on a $1 million house in Auckland. So what we're suggesting is that rather than have really restrictive building regulations, as we do in Auckland and in other cities, instead we could say, well, if you're going to build next door to a house on a block to the sun, then rather than restrict that, let's compensate the people who are going to lose the sunshine. Because, you know, Auckland is a growing city. It's going to need some intensification. Currently, we stifle development for good reasons, because people do, you know, lose out when they lose their sunshine or whatever. So we're saying, well, rather than stop the development, let's compensate people.
But developers, presumably, Arthur, are not going to want to pay a sunshine compensation levy.
No, but, you know, it's only fair that they do if they're blocking somebody's sunshine. So, you know, it's Some developers will like this because it'll enable them to go ahead with development that would otherwise be restricted. But on the other hand, it'll cost them something.
Tracy and Mark, what do you think?
I was just about to ask Arthur if people have to pay compensation if they block a view at the moment.
No, they don't. It's provided a building within their, within their building envelope and height limits, etc., that they are allowed to build within.
Yeah, are you arguing, Tracy, that this would apply to those kinds of disadvantages too?
Yeah, I wondered whether sun and view should be treated in a similar way.
We actually look at the value of views as well. Although that's a harder one to get a handle on because it's different. One person's great view is another person's sort of, they're not so keen on it.
So Arthur, did you have to go around and eyeball each of these all the houses in the study to understand the sunshine?
No, we've got a fantastic co-author who had access to the Wellington City Council's building envelope, which basically means that for every house he could model how much sunshine it got at every hour of every day of the year, taking into account every other building that was around it and, also, of course, all the hills and valleys that are in Wellington.
Crikey, incredible. Well done.
It is incredible.
But, I mean, if somebody rocked up to me and said you can have an hour's less sunshine and your house is... and will give you the equivalent of 2.5%. It's like, well, actually, I probably need the sunshine.
Mm. Yeah, but you might need the money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay, but this will become a huge issue in Auckland, as you are intuiting, Arthur. So what are you going to do with this information in terms of making, in terms of trying to persuade people to have a compensation levy?
Well, we're going out to talk to people in local and central governments just about the findings there, and it's up to them how they use it. But, we've put forward the idea, and then we'll see where they take it.
Is anyone else in the world putting a monetary value on this?
No, we can't find anybody in the world who's done this, and we've talked to the top scholars in the world in this sort of area, and they're not aware of anybody who's put a statistically calculated value on sunshine.
It is such an interesting suggestion, but you've already alluded to this. The experience in the UK recently, where they have the same housing needs or a version of, was that councils wanted to speed up development and they wanted the bylaws protecting a house from being shaded, etc., to be dialed back because they needed speed. And that will be the issue in Auckland too, won't it? There will be a determination to cram as many buildings and apartments onto smaller sites and help for leather.
And we saw the opposition to that with the unitary plan consultations in Auckland last year. And part of that, I think you can get around some of that opposition, not all of it, but at least by saying, well, at least you'll be compensated to some extent for, somebody building next door to you and blocking your sun.
Be very interesting to see how far this goes. All right, Arthur, thank you. And we'll follow this with interest. Arthur Grimes from the Motu Economic and Public Policy Research Trust.